This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings, welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts Jim and Tom, and this episode is our Halloween episode. I'm going to say part one because I have a little bit of a spooky episode planned for us next week. I may or may not call this episode The Spooky Boys. What is he? I don't know how I feel about that, but we're not going to review any movies today, but we are going to talk everything spooky. We're going to talk horror movies, icons, stuff like that. Before we get into that, I want to hit on this kind of breaking news to us. It just got announced, I would say probably around 4 o'clock today on Sunday. And it has to do with Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so another series is happening. And it's a spinoff series and a prequel series of Riker and Troi spinning out of Picard.
Yeah. I guess it's important. Is it current? Is it? I mean, Riker is most people's favorite, you know. Mm-hmm. And he does so much work behind the scenes. So I don't know. This could be fun.
And when we watched the first season or the only season of Picard, when we got to the Riker homeworld, we learned a lot in exposition about their son, who's no longer part yeah. of the family. Like he's dead. I would think that would highlight the son creating that language and, you know, being like this superhuman that we've never seen in that universe.
Yeah. But then again, like we said, for a few other things, it sucks knowing the ending.
Yeah.
If it's about him, and we're assuming it's about him, but the only part that would, I mean, him being a super genius is kind of fun, and being able to read minds and whatever, but it sucks knowing that at some point in the future he dies and goes away.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, there's the relationship that he has with his sister and the parents and Picard, maybe.
Yeah. And that could like hype up everything for where we left off in season one.
So. Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate it at all. Jonathan Frakes does a great job. I think he'll do an awesome job behind it. I'm sure he's going to direct a few things. More than a few. I'm sure he's going to direct, you know, most of it. That's his job since it ended. Yeah, so, and you know, everybody loves Marina Sirtis, so it should be really good. And they know their character. I mean, this is something they know so well, and it was so easy for them to come back, so
yeah,
this will be neat.
And every week we kind of hit on this, that Paramount Plus or whatever it's called is slowly morphing into a streaming service of all Star Trek.
Yeah.
So it's,
well, it's 100% like, what, you know, I want to say what else they have, but they have access to all of Paramount. They have Spike TV stuff. They have, you know, old stuff.
The Twilight Zone.
So they have access to all this stuff, but I guess they know what's working.
Yeah,
they know
what's
hot right now.
If you look at it, it's Discovery, which season 3 certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a good thing. Picard, the announced Pike series, the announced Riker series. And Lower Decks. So, you know, they have 5 shows, and I mean, albeit one of them is a cartoon that I don't know if any Trekkies have watched it or take it serious, but it's slowly morphing into Star Wars or Star Trek All Access.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No, not at all, I don't think. I mean, it's different. There's going to be a breaking point, I think, when it's going to be too much, maybe. And at some point, it's how does this all work together?
It won't.
How does it all tie together?
It won't.
But, yeah.
It'll just
I mean, there's a good foundation there, so.
Yeah, maybe this opens up the Mirror Universe.
True. I would love to see. I'd love to see a full-time Mirror Universe series.
Yeah,
Some point, you know.
You know where I stand with that.
Yeah. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it opens up to a Mirrorverse, what we're thinking about with the J.K. Wilbur stuff. I think it opens up to a Mirrorverse the crew of the Discovery, and that's the... It's not Mirror in the sense of you're looking at your alter ego. It's Mirror in the sense of you're looking at your replacement. Or your legacy or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? But I am a big fan of all the darker Mirror stuff, and the more realistic, grittier, more adult-oriented, the way that's kind of how Star Trek's trending, I think the Mirror Universe is kind of a ripe fruit for them to pick, because that's how it was in the show. It was just, you know, darker, scarier. Yeah. So
yeah, and hopefully, you know, CBS All Access, Paramount Plus, whatever they're calling it, doesn't turn into Quibi and blow all of $6 billion in 6 months.
Well, yeah, that's a crazy. I don't even. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I watched the first free trial, and then I said, nope, not for me. Can't do it.
Yeah,
but
it was such a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But before we get into Spooky Boys, the episode, this is kind of like the appetizer to the main course. The Addams Family is getting a series with Tim Burton attached to it.
Yeah, it's good.
And they're kind of spooky, so they're like one of the first families of goth.
We just watched the first two with Tooch. She actually liked it.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how cool this was. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's crazy that now is the time that it's being redone, you know? You would have thought it would have been redone a few months ago, years ago, you know, but we'll see where we're at. But let's
you know what's crazy about real quick,
sure,
is for no reason whatsoever, I was like, what does he do? What's his name? The father,
Gomez,
Adam's family, Gomez. I was like, what does Gomez do for a living? I Googled it, and it turns out he has a diversified portfolio, and he's worth about $2 billion. He's worth about $2 billion.
Jesus Christ!
Because that's the first thing when I looked it up, and it said how Gomez Adams' net worth, and I was like, I know it's nonsense, but gotta look.
He's gonna be like,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be like that Zach Braff show that came out last year, where he's like a podcast network starter, and he's that's part of his portfolio. He's an entrepreneur. He's got like a, you know, car wash down the street. He does a landscaping company. I'm curious to see who they cast as Morticia, because you got to get that right.
Above all, Morticia has to be kind of sexy, mortician, sexy witch.
Yep.
And Gomez has to be like a suave
fencer.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, besides like having creepy kinks and weird things that he's into, like Morticia speaking gobbledygook languages to him, there's nothing really weird about Gomez.
No.
He just likes the darker stuff, but he's not like, he's not that guy. Yeah.
No, he's a Guillermo del Toro fan.
Yeah.
And he just got a hot wife, you know. All I know is if they are looking for a lurch, I'm going to throw my name in the hat. I'll shave the beard. I'm 6'5". I need work. So if you grow your beard long enough, you could be, cousin.
Yeah.
So we're set up. All right. Let's jump into the episode. What's crazy is you and I have talked horror and watched a lot of horror movies at our movie nights, and we really haven't reviewed a lot of horror, and we never done a Halloween episode. Halloween is this weekend. It's about, we're gonna probably see each other for Halloween. I think it's planned.
Halloween party.
Yeah. So let's start with the big question, and this could go forever. This could go very shortly. Let's start with the Mount Rushmore of horror icons, just like the slashers, you know. We'll do four. We'll do our four, which I think is usually the same for 90% of people. And then and then we'll talk about our fifth and just turn it into, you know, when,
all right,
you know, our top five.
Sure.
So I guess in particular order, I think Freddy is the George Washington.
Okay.
Because he's a little different than, you know, the next two, which are Jason and Michael. They're your traditional slashers. They wear their masks. They do their thing. Freddy is a stealth dream hunter. So I think that he does his, you know, he gets to be the king. And then I put Pinhead as my fourth one. What's that? Is Link in the fourth?
I don't even know.
Now
I'm going to fail the test. I don't know. I mean, like, if you were going by, like, earliest, it would be Michael. But I think impact-wise, yeah, I think Freddy has the most impact. And then, you know, I think – I can't disagree. I'm a huge Pinhead fan, but I don't know if I'd put him in there.
Oh, he's
– I think I'd put – Pinhead's one of my all-time favorites, but culturally, I think Texas Chainsaw, the man in the mask is
Leatherface.
I think he's more impactful.
Okay.
Than Pinhead, even though I love Pinhead a lot. But
Does he get your bench player if they were to build another face on that mountain? Is he number five?
Yeah, he's so, like, the first one is so crazy, so weird, with the guy that's walking around on his skin for almost all the movie. The guy that plays Garrick in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, he plays the main character in that, but that he doesn't play the main character in the next couple Hellraisers. But, there's something to... Just, it's so goth and so weird.
Yeah, it's structured. Like there's a set of rules. There's a hierarchy, and you know it's different than your traditional slasher horror movie.
Yeah, not to say that they were all very good. Like the first three, that's kind of your standard. The first one, two, three are always, you know, what you go to and say, you know, that's actually their best work. And then anything after that is kind of just, you just decide whether it's fun to watch or not.
Yeah.
And I do feel that way. Pinhead, you know, it, for most of them, until I think the company that made them, they went to a different company. The stories, it carries over. It doesn't, like, veer too much. And it is, you know, these Hellspawn that... You know, are kind of, you know,
the Cenobites,
sexy, yeah, the Cenobites, sexy / scary, and you know, chains and whips and all that stuff. But
yeah, it really turns into like BDSM, like kink groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think there's probably had to have been a lot of kink guys with kinks watching it, going, well, secretly this is what I'm into. But
yeah. That's not why he made number four on my list, to put it out there. Leatherface is actually my number five. So we have the same list. But I think I like Pinhead more because the movies hold up better. Whereas Leatherface, you have that disaster with Matthew McConaughey. And then like they have the movie itself called Leatherface where they're really bad.
I guess
bad
you'd
origin.
Be right. I guess you're going to be right in... The sequels to it weren't like real sequels.
Yeah.
They were kind of all over the place. And then they were just the remakes and the remakes had sequels. Well, it's kind of Halloween-esque in that way, but I guess you're right. It was kind of everything after the first one was kind of not great.
Yeah, and I mean that fifth spot is a very hard one because you could throw in, you have Ghostface from Scream. There's been 1,000 Screams. Yep. Went in to get its own series. You could go Chucky, who is Chucky. He's one of the, you know, the goats. Jigsaw.
What's his name from Jigsaw? Who I you know, that's another one. I swear to you, I've watched all of them 100 times, and I have no idea what the story is.
Because there is none.
Well, at some point it gets so convoluted, and everybody's biting each other's backs. I'm like, I don't know what's what and who's who, and
yeah.
I don't even know when Jigsaw died. It's just, I know it happened eventually, and
it was like
somebody else took over, and then we got a prequel, and then I was like, man.
And now they're doing
this is such a convoluted story.
And now Chris Rock is doing it okay. with Samuel L. Jackson. So like Saul. If they stopped at the first one, maybe the first two, I might have said like you are almost top five, because that first one.
Now,
the first one, I was worried that it was going to spin out into like real life Jigsaw puzzles being done.
I think the first two or three still carried a lot of weight, you know, because they had a lot of impact. Because the first, you know, each one of them had a dramatic turn.
Yeah.
And then when the turns got expected and you couldn't keep up with who was, you know, on whose side and who was doing what and who was working for who, and it kind of got, there was like a Jigsaw trope, and then it kind of got out of hand. When it was just those three movies, I think that's when it was good.
Yeah.
Or that's when it was at its best.
Yeah. And, you know, once you kind of build a cinematic universe around two good movies, you have to, you're just, it's fan service at this point, and you're only getting a year to throw them out. I don't know. Another kind of determining factor on my list was how many people have played these characters. You know what I mean? Robert Englund, besides the Jack Earl-Haley remake, has been Freddy forever. You know, there's 65 Jasons. I think there's 3 Michael Myers with Nick Castle, Tyler Mayne, and then the newer guy. I can't remember his name. So, I don't know. It's a very hard top five when it comes to slashers, because...
And Pinhead, only one.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, it was that one guy up until... I don't know, like the 4th, 5th movie. And, so
yeah, until Clive Barker lost the rights.
Yeah, Clive Barker, that's who it was.
But he's got it back. He has the rights 100% back to Hellraiser. So hopefully, you know, we start seeing some more Hellraiser stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I also think Candyman could have made that top five if there were more movies.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and maybe the closer we get, like Tony Todd is so good and so like... He's got like I don't want to sound like I just read a thesaurus, but like gravitas. Like everything he does is so like commanding.
$10 words here for Spooky Boys.
Yeah. But he's got that voice, and I don't want to say he's got like a creepy look of it, because that's not true. But he's got a look about him where it's like
sinister.
And sinister. He could pull sinister off very good.
Yeah.
And in that movie, he did it. Like,
yeah, I most recently saw him in Hellfest.
Okay.
Which is, it's a couple years old, but it's something that is extremely practical, where a serial killer goes inside of a traveling horror event and kills people and turns them into the parts of the attraction. So I think it's very cool. No name cast, but he was like the ringmaster in like 2 scenes. And I was like, oh, hey, there you are. All right, let's go to the next question I have for you. Who is the leading lady of horror?
The leading lady of horror?
Because, like, you could go Jamie Lee Curtis, right, because of longevity. And, you know, she, you know, Laurie Strode is, she would be probably the George Washington of Scream Queens.
Yeah.
You could go Sydney from Scream.
Yeah.
My personal favorite, Sarah Michelle Gellar, because she's done I Know What You Did Last Summer, Buffy, The Grudge.
Yep.
You know, she's done a lot of stuff in horror. You could go Danielle Harris.
Yeah, I was just thinking Danielle Harris. Same reason that you could say Jamie Lee Curtis. Yep. Danielle Harris has been there since the 3rd one.
Yep.
So
you could also go Sherry Moon Zombie.
Yeah. I do love that family.
The Firefly family. Yeah.
It's she's only really in that, but that's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I Jamie Lee Curtis sounds like, I'm thinking, to me, she has the best story arc.
Yeah.
And she kind of, in this last Halloween, I think they did her, she got the best story.
Yeah. Like,
it finished for her, as far as she's concerned. I know all these eventually finish, but then they come back. But, you know, she got her revenge. I mean, she's kind of a tormented soul
mm-hmm.
that she, you know, turned into a, basically an off-the-grid survivalist. But, you know, she gets hers in the end. And like you said, I mean, she's been playing the same character in the same movies for, well, over 35 years now, right? Since 79?
Yeah. 40 years.
So, 40 years. 41 yeah. since I was born in 79, so.
Easy math.
Yeah, 41. Yeah. So, yeah, it's got to be her. I know there's, like, there's well-known scream queens that have been in everything, and but they're not one character.
Yeah.
If we're going to say the leading character, it's got to be, you know. Laurie Stroud is the leading character, which is Jamie Lee Curtis. So that's how I'm going to have to go with.
Yeah, I went with Jamie Lee, too. It's a safe bet, but it's also the right bet. You know what I mean? Yeah. If we're talking horror conventions, it's definitely Danielle Harris. Because
oh yeah,
definitely. She is all over the Cherry Hill yeah. and Maryland horror conventions, at least for us. If you go with somebody who isn't an actress per se, you could go mm-hmm. Elvira. She's like the goth mom, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we could even, I mean, Angelica Houston,
mm-hmm.
who's been in a ton of horrors and kind of like thrillers and stuff like that. But, she was in the Addams Family and
yep.
she's been in,
she was Witches.
Witches and she's been, you know, a ton of stuff. So it's hard to like, but. You know, this is still many different characters she's played.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis has really nailed down one and kept it for 40 years. So.
Yeah. Which brings me to, we have the queen, we need the king. This is an interesting question because I don't think we've ever really talked about it. Who, as far as creating horror content, who do you think is the best at doing it? Like, I have a list of people, like, you all, like, your go-tos would be Stephen King, John Carpenter, Wes Craven, Clive Barker,
Sam Raimi,
James Wan, currently with all the, you yeah. know, the Annabelle and the Conjuring universe, Rob mm-hmm. Zombie, and you can go way back and go Hitchcock.
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
With the Rodriguez stuff.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. His is more of something amazing to look at.
Yeah. It's visually pleasing.
Yeah. Cronenberg.
Yeah.
All the body horror stuff. But I don't know. I would have to say, because, like, we'll get to something later, but creation, John Carpenter, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he was my top choice. And it's a two-way tie between him and Wes Craven.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, where John Carpenter kind of stuck with, not stuck with, but he popularized the slasher and then, like, you know, he went on to do some other stuff. Wes Craven, like, went and did, like, the ensemble horrors with I Know What You Did Last Summer and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with John Carpenter just because of longevity. His creations are still popular. They're still yeah. being remade. I know they always talk about making a new Freddy Krueger movie, but where is it? You know, where is it at? Where we're getting... We're getting three new Halloween movies. So I went with him. But if I'm going currently, I think, and these movies don't hit right for a lot of people, but I think James Wan is crushing it.
I'm not a huge fan of his stuff. Not for any, like, it's just not my bag. I came up in a slasher. Well, we all did. And it can be scary. And people... I've never been a big fan of it. But you can't... I mean, if we're just talking about production and creating content and selling content and having people want his content, yeah, he's a new master.
Yeah.
Because nobody, I mean, you know, Hellraiser's not everybody's bag. And yeah. It's one of, you know, so it's you, when you're talking about that kind of stuff, yeah, you cannot like discredit him. He has put so much out that people want to see and people are looking forward to. So,
yeah. And he's translated from, he's added that into like mainstream movies with Aquaman. Yeah. And brought like the trench, which was like, I think we both spoke about how that was our favorite part. And then he carried that in the Swamp Thing, although it got, you know, got canceled, whatever. We forgot like one of the goats of Scream Queens, Linda Blair.
Yep.
She's right up there too.
Yeah.
But, I think, as far as creating, I'm going to go Carpenter. It's Stephen King. It's just, he creates a ton of stuff, but I don't think they can recreate it properly. It's all, his movies are always on the fence with people.
He's never, and that's a, like, they keep, they'll do so many things for, like, he's obviously, like, we know Stephen King for his horror stuff, but his most successful movies are the stuff that aren't horror, which is crazy. Like, the, you know, Running Man and stuff like that. So, I don't know. His horror translations haven't always been great. I was always excited because I did read everything. I did always get excited about like all the stuff that came to TV. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
The Stand was pretty good.
Which is coming back. Did you see the previews for that?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is they just keep recreating the same stuff over and over. The Stand's a story for some reason. They think they've never gotten it right, and in some kind of respects they haven't, but the made-for-TV movie was great. But, you know, Pet Sematary, I think, was an awesome movie. I think was... So there's a few out there that have, you know, he's gotten right. He's just... But, I mean, he's just puts out 10 books a year.
Yeah.
So
and Hollywood puts out 10 reproductions of his books a year, too, and it's like, oh, we're going to do Dark Tower... We're going to create a Dark Tower universe from this bad movie. And it's like, oh, no. Pump the brakes.
Right.
Honorable mention is somebody from my childhood who doesn't get enough credit, R.L. Stein.
Yeah.
Those Goosebumps books were terrifying when I was a child. So, you know, I think...
It's one I never got into. I never read them.
I mean, they came out in the 90s. You were worrying about...
I was in my teens.
Yeah, you were worrying about other things than... Yeah. Reading campfire tales, but you know, I think they're great little stories, and I think they hold up pretty well too. And it launched the career of Ryan Gosling, that's Are You Afraid of the Dark? Also a great fun little series from my youth. Let's go into some top fives. Top five is an Active Geek thing, and now
I know,
and here we are, and I love them. I could do this whole episode could have been a top five. Do you want to start bad or you want to start good?
I feel like we've never hidden how we feel about bad movies.
Yeah.
So we might as well just get it out of the way, and I think people could almost call the first one or two. So, on my list, anyway.
So why don't you start on your list?
All right. And it's weird because talked about it, I tried to like think of old stuff, and I didn't really like. Yeah, Birdemic is a bad movie, but that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about I looked at this and said, movies that weren't supposed to be total failures, or that we may be in the minority. In how we feel about them. So
we definitely have one that is very probably the exact same one.
I have a few actually. I think maybe my top five is all ones I'm in minority of. But all right, I'll start from the bottom to the worst. Blair Witch.
Yeah,
hated it.
Terrible.
I don't think it aged well either. Mm-mm. I thought. All the craze in people thinking it was real. I think once that was over and that was exposed, I think people, at the time, it was a big deal. I went to Maryland to try to find it, but
yeah, everybody felt duped.
Yeah.
So if you're lied to out the gate and the people are profiting off of a lie, like people are gonna say.
Yeah, but I mean, to get. I don't hate that as much as I just didn't. The movie didn't do it for me. Yeah. I wasn't scared of it, you know, and I didn't think it was good. But if you do get people, I mean, if you do dupe people, like, what's it called? That radio program that in
War of the Worlds.
Said that they were War of the Worlds. I mean, all that was a broadcast lie with commercial breaks and people went nuts.
I'll tell you, the first Paranormal Activity movie duped me.
Yeah.
I thought that was real until the end. and when she runs up, spoiler alert for the, 2001 classic, I guess. I guess that launched Blumhouse, which is one of my favorite studios.
Yeah.
When she runs up and slits his throat on camera, I was like, oh, this is a movie. I thought I was watching a documentary.
Which, that movie was also, probably would made my top 10.
Okay.
I watched that movie, and I watched it, and I watched it, and I was like, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
It's just like, his stuff like flies off the shelf. I'm like, I get it. So what I did was I put it on fast forward, and I watched it in like 2x speed. Yeah. I'm like, nothing happens in this whole goddamn movie.
So I do it audiobooks.
Okay. So number 4. On my worst is The Happening.
Oh yeah.
That was, the luster was fully off of M. Night, and we were like, oh, he might, for all the people that said he was a genius, he, you know, equally might just be very bad at his job.
Yeah.
And not very good at making movies. It was just a mess of a movie. And I don't know if that's the worst one he's done, because there's a lot, like, The Lady in the Water, yeah, and all that other stuff. They're all really bad. But this is just, I think The Happening is when he hit the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And it was, can he make up for it? And he really hasn't. He's made few good movies. I guess we could also say Avatar was the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
for him,
that's his worst.
But that's outside of his box. That's his Disney movies. This was still when he was making, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't indie, but it was.
He thought he was the king of horror.
Yeah. Next one's Cloverfield.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one.
I never walked out of a movie, ever. Until I saw Cloverfield. And I was like, this is giving me a headache. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the story. And then I heard an interview with what's his name that made it, Abrams. I think it was J.J. Abrams, yep, right? And he's since, you know, I'm since become a more of a fan of his, obviously. But his words were, if people walk out of my films with and get sick because of the Steadicam and the, or not Steadicam, the Handycam, yep, and shaking. He's like, I think that's cool. It's like, it's part of the experience. I'm like, go fuck yourself, man. I have to pay $15 to go see your stupid ass movie. And on top of that, it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, when you do watch it, you're like, this is a shitty movie. It's just nothing happens. And then it's supposed to all happen behind the scenes or whatever. And like, it's all inferred that it's basically a Godzilla,
yeah,
type. But it's, I don't know. I didn't like it. I thought it was, once getting over the fact that he said that about making people sick and that he likes that, getting past that, it's just not a good movie. So if he would have made a better movie, I'd be able to hang in there longer.
Yeah.
It just was a shitty movie. Here's the two that I think everybody's going to know. The Witch was just such a bad movie.
Yeah, the worst payoff event, like almost the worst payoff of any movie I've watched.
I think we got to be clear. I don't know, because there's other The Witches out there.
It's one with the goat on the cover, right?
Yeah, and it's the one that we went and seen it together.
No, I didn't see it with you.
I think. No? Mm-mm. Oh, I saw it with Nicole. And Nicole sees maybe one movie a year. And this is the one we went and seen.
Yeah.
Because she likes horror movies, though. And it was such a bad...
It was... Oh, God, that's, that's one of those movies that, like, could have been my entire list were these quote-unquote artsy horror movies. Like...
Yeah, in the last, let's say, since we've actually known each other, horror has taken this... You either have Blumhouse making, like, kind of old-school horror-type movies. Yeah. They've kind of stuck to their guns about that. Or you have people that are telling everybody... In 2015, it came out. You have the people that are saying, oh, horror could be just as good as... every other, like, yeah. drama or whatever. We could make a horror movie that could win an Oscar. We could make a horror movie that's got a great story, and you could really dig deep into it. And then it's like, this is what we get.
Yep.
We get an English guy that I can't understand crying all the time. And
a subtle reference to the goat.
Yeah. It's such a bad... And we're about to see... What's her name? She's going to be... Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be in
Furiosa.
Yeah, so... Well, she's good.
Yeah, she's great.
And it's just... This movie was... Expectation didn't match reality on this one. And we're going to say that again in a minute. But
That had a great trailer. I remember that trailer.
Oh, yeah. Creepy. The trailer looked great.
Creepy, like, background music and sound effects. I was like, I want to see this. And then I saw it. It immediately gave me PTSD flashbacks of The Village. And I was like, nope, I want nothing to do with this. See ya.
I just had a hard time, like, connecting with the movie. I had a hard time hearing it, and then the sound mix was all over the goddamn place.
Yeah.
Voices were weird. They speak in old English, like, from the 1600s. This is all arty garbage that they, you know, that they want to separate themselves from every other witch movie.
I think that's from A24. Which they make good indie movies. Their horror stuff is a top five in its own for me.
Oh yeah, like I said, we are in the minority. I think on this movie, I don't know.
No, we are.
I like to see some people go back to it and see if it still holds up, but if they think it holds up. But it was so bad. I hated it.
Yeah, me too.
A24, yeah. And number one, and everything that we said about The Witch can be plopped in this one's lap. Babadook.
Yep.
Which I've you know, people that I respect have broken it down for me, and how it's all metaphor for different phases of depression, and if you know, there's every time that, like, the main character changes, the way that she changes, the way that she addresses something is a different The Babadook is basically a metaphor of depression.
Yeah.
And she, like, you could literally, you know, go through to whatever 10 steps or 8 steps or 12 steps, whatever depression steps are. And you could see that's how she's dealing with it. And that's when she's locked the Babadook up in her basement.
Yeah.
And all she had to do that was scream at it once. That's her deal. Like, that's, you know. That's her, like, taking control back and taking control from depression. Whatever. That's actually kind of sort of what's his name was telling me. That's how he sees it. The guy that wrote The Expanse.
Daniel Abraham.
Yeah. Which, you know, guy, you know, I love his stuff. And I said, man, I'm gonna watch it, and I'm going to watch it through those eyes. Didn't make a goddamn bit of difference to me. It's not a horror movie at all. I don't see it. There's no, like, horror's got to give me, like, a little bit of a fizz. Like, I got to feel something. I got to feel like a bit of an adrenaline rush. And it's the same for the witch. I got to feel something.
Yeah.
You know, I got to feel like I'm threatened by this. It never happened. There was no jump scares. There was no, I was never on the edge.
Yeah.
It was very, I thought it was a hugely predictable movie. And the payoff for me wasn't, I didn't see her lightly screaming at the Babadook and then taking control over him, because that's so goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even under the guise of it being her taking control over her depression, it still didn't do it for me. And, I just really think it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. This is number one on my horror, but this might be number one on my all-time movie list.
I hate
of movies that I hate.
I hated the movie as well. Also made my list. It's my number two slot, but could fight for number one. I remember I went to Movie Stop when it was around in Turnersville, and this guy who, he was like the movie expert there, and he's telling everybody the best horror movie you'll ever see in your life is The Babadook. And I had already seen it, and I was like, no, I call your bluff, sir. That is the worst movie ever. When it goes to kind of as we go into my list, when I'm watching a horror movie, I want to be frightened at least once. I don't want to be angry at the movie. I don't want to have to sit there and think about it. So, like, we are definitely in the minority when it comes to those popular artsy movies, because we listen to a podcast that's true crime, occult based, and they love The Babadook and The Witch.
But they also love like, what's the puppets?
Puppet Master.
They love The Puppet Master, and they love gore. Yeah. So they love horror movies, but they can also watch The Babadook, and I think they get a hard one for being able to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't see, like, I don't agree with almost anything they ever say about movies, to be honest.
Yeah, same here. Because, like, I could do this whole list, and it could be The Witch, The Babadook, Midsommar, Heredity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The movies that movies that everyone's like, this is the best movie you're ever going to see. And then you watch it, and you're like, I'm kind of disgusted by this. But my five is a little different from your five. One of which we saw and we reviewed on this podcast. I don't even know if we can classify it as horror, but it scared the shit out of me because I hated it. But the first one is my fifth one, and it's the movie called The Turning.
Oh.
It came out this year. It was with everyone's favorite Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things. And Chelsea and I watched it during quarantine, and as we're watching it, I'm getting angry at this movie because it's just bad kids being evil. And then at the end, it just ends abruptly. And I'm like, well, this was a waste of 2 hours. So that goes on my number five spot. Number four is a movie that was a sequel to a movie that gained some weird popularity and, like, kind of took off, was The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
From the jump, if it's The Last Exorcism, you don't get a sequel.
Oh, Part 2.
Yeah, you know, the logic there is flawed. So I'm like, okay, let's watch this. And I guess spoilers to follow for all these movies, because I'm going to tell you why I don't like them. The moment where they rip a baby out of this little girl and throw it into a fire, I was like, well, I'm out. It was dumb. It wasn't scary. Again, the logic to the movie is flawed. If it's The Last Exorcism, it's not called Part 2. She's not going to relive her life and then have to get exorcised again. So I'll go there. Number three is the movie that we reviewed, Gretel and Hansel.
That was number six on my list.
The biggest pile of dog crap that I've ever watched. That was witch level anticipation. I was like, this could be really good. And then the payoff was cat's bad.
That was so bad.
Gretel and Hansel is 1A, 1B with cats. That was the worst movie I've seen this year. And I've seen a lot of bad movies, and we're going to watch another bad movie soon called Jiu-Jitsu. And, you know, that might eventually hit our, you know, our top three of bad movies. Yeah. Number two is The Babadook, for all the reasons that you said. So I'll just echo that. And number three is four movies combined. And it's Wrong Turn 3-6.
But your wife makes you watch them, doesn't she?
No, Wrong Turn is, as we get into, spoiler alert from my horror movie, Wrong Turn is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Okay.
The first one, I think, is so well done. The second one was bad. But the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth that I spent money on.
Right, yeah.
And I have that collection. I think I have two. I like the special editions. Was terrible. You had a great foundation to West Virginia backwoods horror that stand the test of time. Like, that could have been the next Hills Have Eyes, the Firefly Family. That could have been in the same vein as those guys. And they just...
It could have been, like, instead of for, like, when you think about all the... Every state's got a horror classic that is their state's own. And West Virginia's got the Mothman.
Yep.
That, you know, Wrong Turn could have became their horror staple. Yep. But and now we'll just have to stick with the Mothman.
Yeah, instead of focusing on the horror and the jump scares and the sense that you're being hunted while you're watching this movie, they focused on the incest. And how many more people, like, you know, it's kind of what The Hills Have Eyes 2 focused on when they went deep into the city and, you know, it's a Mortem Joe and his sister having babies and they're all stunted and having developmental problems. But yeah, that's my number one, 3-6, all of those. 2 isn't a dumpster fire, but it's pretty damn close. All right, let's hear your top 5 for your best horror movie.
My top 5 are, have you ever seen, this is one I love the movie, and it's the only movie I have ever, it's the only movie I've ever actually wrote a review about on IMDb, Martyrs, the French version.
I've watched it with you.
Yeah, I know. And I'll say this. I said something then, I'll say it now. It's the best film I'll only ever watch once, because it is. I didn't know, because I was kind of gone for it. There's a lot of French horror that is in that vein, and they call it, like, horror porn.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's no sex in any of them. It's just... It's some type of girls being held, young girls being held in some type of captivity and being scantily clad. And that is Martyrs. And there's a whole slew of them that came out in like the early 2000s to the 2010. There's like 5, 6, 7 really good movies, really good like horror that you really dig your teeth into. But Martyrs was the one that was the hardest for me to like. Really watch.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, there is gore and there is a monster and there's this thing and that thing, but you could relate. These are two young women, so it's not like you can relate, but you feel what they're feeling and you feel what, at the end, you're just like, oh my God, what a waste of these people's lives.
Yeah.
And not for a bad reason, because it just, so much horrible things happened to him. To the extent, like, it's not horrible things happen, but like anybody, it's hard to watch some. This is gratuitous, but it's like, oh, I got to keep watching. But I did see it once and I won't see it again, but I do love the movie. And yeah. I have seen it with people, but it is such a, this is not like a good time jokey put on a party type of movie. This is, it's a movie that you're like, you got to see at least once and say that you did. And to understand it, I think this is the best of a type of, this is the best that they've done. So
I think that was the only time you ever were allowed to recommend a movie in movie night.
Yeah, and it stopped right after that.
Yeah, it was like Tom's choice, the Martyrs. Jim's choice, Zombievers.
Yeah. for an hour and a half, nobody said anything.
Yeah, that was a hard watch. It was a very hard watch.
That's the point, but it's not like, it's not a hard watch. Like, you ever see hear the Czech film? I don't want to talk about it if you haven't heard of it, because I think they'll stop our podcast. But there's these films, these other horror films that are just like doing the worst things possible.
I have not heard of them.
I don't think it does that. I think this actually has a good story and a cliffhanger in a way that makes you think about what was this all for and why did they do the things they did. And I think this delivers better than most. So.
Okay.
This gets sort of kind of predictable. Number four is Halloween. For me, Halloween 1 is the best one.
Same.
Still stands up from 1979. And I think Halloween has so many really good... I don't, not until they got into that crazy Year of the Witch one, which is Halloween 3.
That's the highest rated movie of that franchise.
Year of the Witch?
Yeah, Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch, that's it. But that was horrible. That was a mess.
Yeah, that was, they just wanted to make a Halloween holiday movie every year and not have Michael Myers. That was an experiment that failed miserably.
Yeah. And once they got out of that, the next ones were, even like the fourth and the fifth were pretty good. And then the remakes and then the re-remakes, they've all been really actually pretty good. I haven't really disliked too much of it. And he's began the slasher movement. I'm sure there's something I'm missing before then, but, up until this point, you literally had your horror were
monsters.
Universal monsters. Yep. We're still dealing with suit clad vampires and werewolves and up until this point, and then this comes out and is like, this is a game changer.
Yep.
Starts the slasher movement, and that leads into so many other places. So that's why Halloween, the first one, is on my list. The next one, Nightmare on Elm Street 1.
Yep. The classic, instant classic.
Yeah. I think they knew right away what they had, and they're like, "Oh shit, this is really good."
Yep.
And he's like one of those very first characters. You're like, I know he's a horrible person. He's like literally killed kids, and they had to like, people started liking him more and more, and they had to keep upping his like how horrible he was. Yep. Like each subsequent sequel. Kind of made him worse. Like the things he did were worse. And they're like, he's a kid killer and whatever. And, he's pervy and all this other stuff. But people just kept liking him more and more and more. Kind of like, this narrow our audience a little bit. Like when you have a heel and you have a face in wrestling, yep. But people love the heel, then they don't know what to do. They're like, oh shit, what do we do? It's kind of, that's the same thing. Freddie was oddly cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oddly likable.
Yeah.
Even though he was a horrible thing, he turned into a demon. But he was the demon everybody liked.
Yeah.
You know?
They wanted to grab a beer with him.
Yeah. he's the villain you want to grab a beer with.
Yep.
Number two... we talked a lot already as a Hellraiser from me. It was so different.
Yeah.
It was such a different then, you know, in a time of slashers, this was kind of dealt with the occult, dealt with possessions, dealt with the devil, to hell, how to get to hell, BDSM, but none of it was in, you know, even like Nightmare and Friday the 13th and Halloween in a little bit, there was like, you know, there was some sexual things happening. Even, you know, in Hellraiser, it wasn't. Like, you didn't have, like, you know, young campers having sex. It just didn't happen. It was a weird thing that the overtones were this, like, BDSM thing, but people didn't actually have sex in it. It's such a weird thing. But I Pinhead, I think it was for our time, it was the artsy, smart horror.
Yeah.
And I think it holds up better than current artsy, smart horror. And my number one, and might be my number one of all time, like, this is, like, Babadook transcends my top five horror into top five worst. This actually might get into my top five all-time favorite movies, and it's The Thing, and we just watched it the other day with Binks. Binks loved it.
It's a great one.
Yeah, it's such a, I don't know, man. It's such just like so much suspense. You never know what's going on. Yeah, it's like a puzzle, like constantly solving a puzzle. We're kind of introduced to body horror that we're not going to see for like done at its best for a while, but this was, you know, really good body horror for the time. And you know, it's a John Carpenter movie.
Yeah,
it's a, you know, this is why he's got to get his due. But yeah, and you know, Kurt Douglas is awesome.
Yeah,
his hair's awesome. That guy's been genetically blessed with maybe the best hair on a man I've ever seen.
But Kurt Russell,
especially,
right?
Especially in that movie, Kurt Russell. Yeah, I always get them.
Kurt Douglas was like 600 years old when that movie came out.
Yeah, he's the only thing Spartacus, but. Yeah. Kurt Russell, his hair is so fantastic.
Yeah,
okay. Everything he's in, and it holds up like.
Even when he played Ego.
Yeah.
You know, his hair.
Was in that Robert Rodriguez movie that came out, and
Escape from New York.
He was in a Western, Escape from New York, which is also John Carpenter. I think he's in like five John Carpenter movies.
He was his go-to guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The Thing is one of those movies. I think it, and I don't think The Thing's a shocker for anybody. It's, you know, it's a one and done, but it's so good, so well done. I think its intention was to be as close to perfect as it could, and like, the landscape's perfect because it's like in the Arctic. They're not in a cage. They're just away. They can't get anywhere. And things start failing one thing at a time. And, I thought it was, I can't really think of any part of it that's bad. Like it's all around a great movie. And that's, you know, that's why I think it could be in my like top five of all time.
So. Nice. Mine are completely different. I think we have one that is similar, Halloween. My number five is actually The Conjuring 2.
Okay.
Mainly because it has its creepy undertones, but it was believable. Like, you can believe that somewhere that has happened. And I know, like, the Warrens have been kind of like snake oil salesmen, and, like, they embellish everything. But just the way that was done, it was well done. It was creepy. It was scary, and it had its good storytelling. So I like that. I just
bought it, and we're me and Binks and Nicole are gonna watch it. The Conjuring 1 and 2. I actually got both of them.
Yeah, they're both very good movies.
Yeah, we're gonna watch them pretty soon.
And it connects to, you know, I went on vacation in July, and it connects to, like, Annabelle and all that stuff, like, the whole universe. Yeah. And there's, like, 95 Annabelles, but just stick with Conjuring. You're in the right spot. My number four is a movie that I don't even know why I like this movie, but I love it. Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
That is really good.
And I think Justin Long, it, like, crushed it. I love that movie. And
that car, the truck he drives, yep. It's like a Citroen CVR or CVN or so whatever.
Yeah, he's got the Citadel made out of human skin. Like, that that first one was a masterpiece. And then my number three is probably everyone goes, why? And why have you seen this? Creepshow. Yeah. I love it. And I love that it's just a collection of creepy stories. It wasn't scary, but I think it just, like, I used to watch Creepshow with my dad all the time. So I thought, like, where, like, you can't touch the water.
Yeah, I love Creepshow. And I remember, like, the gremlin on the plane. And
yeah, you sit in the meteor drops at the house, and he goes out and he touches it and he turns into grass. I think it's on YouTube. The whole movie's on YouTube if anybody wants to watch it. Number two is Halloween, the original. Although I did like the remake, and I also like the Rob Zombie stuff. I like most of his stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a twisted mind and tells very, very dark and twisted stories. And then number one, no surprise here, Wrong Turn. As I watched it, again, I feel like when we go camping, there could be – we've been to Virginia. That whole group could have been there, and something could have happened. It's very believable. It's and it doesn't have to be inbred. You know, it could just be crazy backwoods people who want to hunt people. And as you're watching the movie – you kind of feel like you're being hunted. There's suspense when Emmanuel Shariki is in the top of the tree hiding from Sawtooth, and he comes behind her and hits her clean between her jaws with the axe, and her bottom of her body just falls to the ground. And, like, you see it just hitting the trees, but the top of her head's on top of the axe. I was like, oh, you got my money. And at that time, I would watch everything Elijah Dushku was in. But, yeah.
Right.
But that's my number one, man.
They are all pretty good. That one's pretty good. Well, not pretty good. That is really good. You got to get down to Wrong Turn was so good.
So much potential.
You forget about them because, but I, you know, that's the thing is, all these, everything that we've talked about, it has a very, very short shelf life.
Yeah.
After, it only makes money for two, and then it costs too much money to bring back your stars. You're not going to get a Robert Englund in every single movie. You know what I mean? Like, he's been playing the same guy since 1984 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's so hard to do.
Yeah, and the second one, they didn't have anybody from the original.
Right,
like the whole cast was gone, and like most of them died, but like Elijah Dushku was still around, not doing anything. She could have done like the follow up, or it could have just been an anthology series where the same family, you don't have to mess with the CG, with the makeup, the same family, or I mean they killed a few, but Sawtooth and his kids or whatever hunt the campers. But they turned it into, like, oh, there he's a voyeur, and he's watching these people have sex, and then he has to go and kill them. And then they're at a mental asylum, and then it's ridiculous. But number one was fantastic. But that's it, man. That's our spooky episode. I think that this was a good one. But it, like I said in the beginning, it's part one of a two-part, because next week, and I'm not even going to tell the audience the movie. I'll tell you all when we're done. I read an article on my way to America's Glory Hole, Florida, that a science-based company reviewed horror movies, and they found the most perfect horror movie, like the number one horror movie that has been out. And I disagree with it, but we're going to review it because it's science. So I've seen it. You might have seen it too, but we'll pick it up next week with that one.
All right.
And yeah, you can follow us on social media, Galaxy Wars Podcast, everywhere social media is found. Support Active Geek every Wednesday. I do a YouTube show, Super Late Show, every comes out every day on YouTube.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah. On YouTube and Anchor, wherever pod or YouTube and wherever podcasts are found.
That's where the podcast is, right?
Yeah. And yeah, we'll be back next week with a scientific horror experiment. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.